From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Thursday, November 10th, 2016. That's right. We are one day away from the weekend. You can do it, all right? Patience is certainly a virtue. You're almost there, all right? We plan on breaking up the monotony of your work week by talking a lot of sports, okay? On today's show, we will invite our dear friend, Brian Callaway, who is the lead prep sports writer for the Lansing State Journal. Brian will break down which local teams here in mid-Michigan are still left in the high school football playoff running, all right? You don't want to miss that. We will also talk about two big additions for the 2017 class for Michigan State men's basketball. Also, a quick Pistons and Wings update. The Detroit Pistons, can they rebound after just really laying an egg against the LA Clippers over the weekend? We'll chat about that. We will also talk about the Detroit Red Wings, again, coming off a game in which they beat the Philadelphia Flyers on the road in Philly for the first time since 1997. Can they keep the winning up? Also, it's Thursday. You guys know that we love to roll in the current sports time machine here in Studio S and roll the clock back to figure out what exactly happened on this particular date in sports history. And a certain NFL quarterback by the name of Colin Kaepernick, whose name has been in the media due to taking a stand and raising awareness for the Black Lives Matter movement and raising awareness when it comes to inequality here in the United States of America. Well, we will debate whether or not his latest move or non-move is a complete contradiction to what he is trying to stand for. All of that and more. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also weigh in via social media at facebook.com/currentsports or tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR underscore sports. So much to get to, so little time. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right. Love that groove. All right. With the MSU men's basketball season about to tip off in Hawaii tomorrow. Man, it's got to be. I've never been to Hawaii. Always wanted to go to Hawaii. But yeah, the MSU men's basketball team has a cool trip out in Hawaii tomorrow night. The future is taking shape, though, back home for the Spartans. Recruits Jaren Jackson Jr. and Xavier Tillman signed their national letters of intent yesterday. Jackson, a 5-star, 6'11" forward. He verbally committed to MSU on September 15th. Tillman, a 4-star, 6'9" forward, committed to MSU on October 1st and is a top pick for Mr. Basketball in Michigan for the upcoming high school hoop season. Jackson and Tillman are AAU teammates in Indy. The Spartans will also be paying attention to Gary Trent Jr., who is a 5-star shooting guard and the 8th best player in the entire country. He will make his decision on ESPNU tonight at 6 p.m. Trent Jr.'s final three come down to Michigan State, Duke, and UCLA. That will be a huge get for Tom Izzo if he can land Trent. Michigan State women's basketball added its first player to the 2017 recruiting class, Claire Hendrickson, a 5'11 guard from Wyoming, Michigan, signed her national letter of intent yesterday afternoon. Now, MSU head coach Susie Merchant said this about Hendrickson's game, I should say now. Quote, Claire's versatility is something that we always look for in players, and she brings that to the guard position. For us to be able to have a versatile guard that can do multiple things and play multiple positions is important. We pride ourselves on the ability to create opportunities through mismatches. Great gift for Susie. All right, number 15, Michigan State Volleyball welcomed Purdue to Jenison Fieldhouse last night. They swept the Purdue Boilermakers in three straight sets. Junior Alyssa Garvelink totaled 10 blocks for the second straight match, as well as 7 kills. Senior Chloe Raynick added 5 blocks, 12 kills, including Raynig. The Spartans will lose 4 seniors after this season, but entering in their place will be 3 2017 recruits. Alyssa Kronowski, from Munster, Indiana. Jamie Cox from Oregon, Ohio. And Meredith Norris from Owosso, all committing yesterday to play collegiate volleyball in East Lansing. All three were also top 40 prep volleyball senior aces and will enroll in the upcoming spring semester. MSU is now 22-5, 11-4 in the Big Ten, and will play Michigan on Saturday at 7 p.m. The Detroit Red Wings will host the Vancouver Canucks tonight at 7:30 p.m. The Canucks are one of the coldest teams in the NHL right now. In their last 10 games, they are 1-8-1. The Wings coming off a 3-2 shootout win against the Philadelphia Flyers. First win in Philly since 97. The Wings expected to start Jimmy Howard in net, who has been playing well so far this year. In the 6 games Howard has played in, he has 3 wins and a goals against average of 1.26 with 1 shutout. We'll dive into the Wings in just a second. The Detroit Lions announced that multi-platinum and international pop artist Andy Grammer, or is it Grammer? I don't know. He may be a country artist, Isaac. I'm not sure how to pronounce that last name. He doesn't know either. He's a hip-hop guy. All right. We'll go with Grammer. Will headline the halftime show for the 77th Thanksgiving Day Classic on November 24th against the Minnesota Vikings, while 18-time Grammy Award-winning artist, I know this name pretty well, Aretha Franklin, she will sing the national anthem. Grammer's second album featured the triple platinum hit, Honey, I'm Good, which was one of the best-selling songs of 2015. Franklin, who grew up in the D, has been in the music industry for 6 decades and recorded a dozen number one singles. In 1987, Franklin became the first woman inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. She is truly an icon, a musical icon. The Detroit Pistons, still winless on the road after dropping their second straight game to the Phoenix Suns, 107-100 last night. The Pistons led by 6 early in the fourth, but could not find a way to stop the Suns, especially guard Eric Bledsoe, who scored 14 of his 21 points in the fourth quarter alone. Bledsoe added 11 rebounds, 8 assists, while forward Jared Dudley. Yeah, Jared Dudley went off, folks. Scored a season-high 19 points off the bench. KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope led the Pistons with a season-high 27 buckets, including 5 three-pointers, but missed a potential tying 3 with a minute and 35 left to play. The Pistons continue their road trip on Friday when they travel to San Antonio to take on one of the Western Conference best teams, the Spurs, at AT&T Center. Tip-off set for 8:30 p.m. Stan Van Gundy, folks, on the Detroit Pistons bus ride to yesterday's game, and I believe we have a bite of this, in Phoenix, the team was quiet, not because of their 32-point loss to the Clippers, but because of Donald Trump. Isaac, do we have this audio? I believe we do. Detroit's outspoken coach, Stan Van Gundy, was asked about his views on Trump winning the election.
I mean, we presume to tell other countries about human rights abuses and everything else. We better never do that again. I don't want to hear anything about our leaders talking to China or anybody else about human rights abuses. We just elected an open, brazen, racist, misogynist leader. We keep our mouths shut and realize we need to be learning maybe from the rest of the world.
Yeah, and it's kind of muffled to hear in the background with the basketball dribbling, but we'll elaborate on Stan Van Gundy's comments later on in the hour. You don't want to miss that. And San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick has revealed that he did not vote in the 2016 election. Cap, known this season for his protesting of the national anthem, told reporters Wednesday that, quote, "To me, it didn't really matter who went in there. The system still remains intact that oppresses people of color," end quote. Stephen A. Smith heavily criticized Cap's decision during his show on First Take on ESPN, and you'll actually get to hear his comments right now. Let's start the show.
He absolutely betrayed his cause. As far as I'm concerned, Colin Kaepernick is absolutely irrelevant. I don't want to see him again. I don't want to hear from him again. I don't want to hear a damn word about anything that he has to say about our nation, the issues that we have, racial injustices, needing change, et cetera, et cetera. He comes across as a flaming hypocrite. As far as I'm concerned, I'm not interested in a damn word that he has to say. And quite frankly, I hope he goes away. He's lucky to be in the league right now. And Colin Kaepernick, after all this noise that you made, even though you didn't intend to do so by offending our military servicemen and women and pointing out about how you wanted to bring attention to racial injustices and beyond this in this country, to turn around and not to even take your behind to the polls to vote for a particular candidate, it is shameful. Absolutely shameful. Him of all people, because of the position he took, because of the attention he brought to the issues, the fact that you don't even have the decency to go to the polls and activate yourself in this election, as our president said, is a damn shame. I don't want to hear another word from Colin Kaepernick. It's a waste of time. A matter of fact, I would personally make a request to the media in this nation, wherever he is, if he ain't on that football field trying to throw another damn incomplete pass, do me a favor and make sure one thing. Take the camera away from him. It means nothing. Because for him not to vote, as far as I'm concerned, everything he said meant absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. I don't want to hear another damn word from him. Nothing.
And that is how we start this afternoon's Current Sports. Welcome, 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 ladies and gents, boys and girls. You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, as I stated, happy, happy Thursday. It is November 10th, and I trust that you all are having a fantastic week. We've got a lot to get to on today's show. And I want to start it with that rant from ESPN's own Stephen A. Smith concerning Colin Kaepernick, quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. Colin Kaepernick, whose name has been in the media for quite some time now, dating back to the end of the summer when Cap decided to protest, you know, in support of the Black Lives Matter movement and to protest inequality in our nation here in the United States of America. Cap decided to not hit the polls on Election Day on Tuesday, and it has lit a fire under many folks out there, including Stephen A. Smith, who I don't always agree with. I mean, I stopped watching ESPN's First Take a long, long time ago, all right? Even when Skip Bayless was still on the squad there. But every once in a while, Stephen A. Smith will say something that has my ears up and that intrigues me. And you'll get my thoughts. I'm gonna bite my tongue right now. And you'll get my thoughts later on this hour about Stephen A. Smith's rant, all right? So keep listening, all right? Keep listening, because we're going to get there. We are going to get there. And I just want to introduce it to you all just to let it marinate on your minds as this 60 minutes continues to wind down, all right? Because not only did Stephen A. have, you know, an issue with Colin Kaepernick, had to say concerning voting. But, you know, there are many individuals in the sporting world who voiced their overall opinion about voting here in America, who voiced their overall opinion about Donald Trump, who is actually meeting with current President Barack Obama in the White House as we speak. There are many athletes and coaches who voiced their thoughts on what took place on Tuesday. I mean, you heard the comments from Stan Van Gundy, who was just very honest and very blunt, you know, quote, millions of Americans don't think that racism and sexism disqualifies you to be our leader. We should be ashamed for what we stand for as the United States today. Again, Stan Van Gundy, head coach of the Detroit Pistons. That's what Stan Van, just a snippet of what he had to say on Donald Trump winning the presidential election. We saw LeBron James, who is arguably the best player, best basketball player in the world right now. And LeBron actually, you know, not too long ago, he posted on his Facebook page a snippet of the song or the instrumental you just heard, Kendrick Lamar's All Right, which has become, I believe, like an anthem for the Black Lives Movement. And he posted that song on his Instagram feed. And LeBron had this to say. I won't read the entire quote, but just a snippet of what LeBron James had to say. Quote, as I woke up today looking and searching for answers. This was yesterday's post. As I woke up today looking and searching for answers on what has happened, this song hit right on the head. Kendrick Lamar's All Right. If we continue the faith, as hard as it may be to do so, we will be all right. Parents and leaders of our children, please let them know they can still change the world for the better. Don't lose a bit of faith. They are our future, and we must remain stronger than ever. Yes, we all want to lace up the boots, put on the hard hats, and strike, but that's not the answer. Love, genuine love and faith will be the only thing that can get us through this. Minorities and women, in all, please know that this isn't the end. It's just a very challenging obstacle that we will overcome. I'll end the quote. Again, he goes on for a few more sentences, but I'll end it right there. You get the gist of it, right? And, you know, there's been so many that's come out. I saw David West of the Golden State Warriors. He came out and had very honest opinions about Donald Trump being elected president, saying, quote, the message was loud and clear last night. I don't think there's any room to not face the obvious truth that he speaks for the majority of the people in this nation. His attitudes about black people and Muslim people, about women, about just about whatever group you can name, folks agreed with his position. And you can't deny that because folks voted for him. So this whole fairy tale about some post-racial posts, this utopia that Obama supposedly created, it's all bull. That's the bottom line. When you look at what the results say from last night, this nation has not moved a thread with its ideals, end quote. Again, that's from Golden State Warriors basketball player David West. And then you had the awkward in Bill Belichick, who is the head coach of the New England Patriots. I'm just going to, you know, because Bill Belichick, you know, he clarified his relationship with President-elect Donald Trump during a press conference on Wednesday before launching into a rapid-fire series of one-word answers. And, you know, it's being said that Belichick actually sent a letter to Donald Trump, who he considers a friend. And here's what Belichick had to say.
I've received a number of inquiries relative to a note that I wrote to Donald on Monday. Our friendship goes back many years, and I think anybody that's spent more than 5 minutes with me knows I'm not a political person. My comments are not politically motivated. I have a friendship and a loyalty to Donald. A couple weeks ago, we had Secretary of State Kerry in our locker room. It's another friend of mine. Can't imagine two people with more different political views than those two. But to me, friendship and loyalty is just about that. It's not about political or religious views. I write hundreds of letters and notes every month. Doesn't mean I agree with every single thing that every person thinks about politics, religion, or other subjects. But I have multiple friendships that are important to me, and that's what that was about. So it's not about politics, it's about football. We got a huge game this week against a great football team, great organization, and that's where it all is going forward. On Seattle. All right.
Coach, were you happy or annoyed that Trump read the letter?
Seattle.
Well, your team's always been good at keeping outside distractions on the outside. Given the nature of this presidential race,
Seattle.
Did you find it helpful to talk to your players about this? If any of your players talked to you about this,
Seattle.
Are there any concerns about any locker room rancor as a result of this?
How awkward was that? I mean, that was incredibly awkward and a bit uncomfortable near the end of that spiel as reporters tried to follow up on Bill Belichick explaining his letter to Donald Trump and explaining their relationship. And he just said, Seattle, 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 over and over again. Just awkward. And, you know, I saw that bite late last night when I was watching ESPN SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt, and I thought Van Pelt knocked it out the park. I mean, you know, as soon as he played that bite, Scott came out and said, "Is it just me or is this just ridiculous?" And he came out and said, "This is childish." You know, and he went on this rant about how Bill Belichick is a grown man, and it's not okay for a grown man to act that way during a press conference. Well, first off, you give this whole spiel about how you wrote a letter to Donald Trump, and you explain your political views and your relationship with Trump. And when a reporter tries to just ask a follow-up question, you just totally, in my opinion, and I agree with SVP, you act childish and just say Seattle over and over again. Why can't you just say, you know what? That's all I'm going to say as far as the letter is concerned with Donald Trump, as far as my political views are concerned. I will have no further comment. Because then that lets the media know not to even ask a follow-up question, and we could keep it moving and possibly talk about your matchup with Seattle this upcoming weekend. But Bill Belichick is kind of just an odd dude. And I've come to realize over time, and I made this comment with our production assistant before we got on the air today, that, you know, there are a lot of great individuals that are the creme de la creme at what they do who are just a bit odd. You know, I have to say that, you know, and I'll bring up, you know, who I consider to be, in my opinion, again, it's just my opinion, but the greatest artist of all time in Michael Jackson. Mike, no denying it, was just an odd dude. Just an odd dude. You know, went through a lot growing up, I get it, but just an odd fella. Prince, one of the greatest artists of all time. We all know Prince, you know, he walked to the beat of his own drum. You know, Prince was just a different dude. Just a different odd dude. Jim Harbaugh, who, I mean, he's doing incredible things in only his second season as a head coach at U of M. And Jim has been known just to be an odd dude. You know, he had a quote about SpongeBob SquarePants over the weekend, you know, or this week, I should say. I mean, just an odd dude. His mannerisms are just a bit out there. And Bill Belichick, you know, who's arguably the best coach in football right now and has been for quite some time, just an odd brother, you know. So it didn't surprise me, but at the same time, you know, from a professionalism standpoint, Bill, just make a disclaimer and say, that's all I'm going to comment on. And keep it pushing. You know, you didn't have to just say Seattle over and over and over. That was kind of awkward. I feel bad for the reporters who were asking that question. Moving on, Isaac, any comments on this? You know, before we're going to dive in depth into the whole Colin Kaepernick situation later on in the hour. But it's been very interesting to watch many athletes out there and coaches alike who have come out and voiced their respective opinion on what took place on election night this past Tuesday. And I think now more than ever, we're starting to see more and more athletes get comfortable with, you know, speaking their mind on politics, on social issues. I mean, and LeBron has certainly been a catalyst in that movement.
Seattle. No, I'm sorry.
Right?
Excuse me.
I knew you were going to do that.
I was just in that frame of mind, whatever. Okay. No, going forward, though, I actually really respect the athletes who came out in support of either candidate. Like I've always said, I respect athletes who take activist standpoints because athletes play a game for a living. It's a pretty fun lifestyle. It's not to say there isn't work involved, but it is a game. It should transcend that when a fan has a connection to an athlete. It shouldn't just be like, I like the way he dunks the ball. It should be more than that. It should be about the way he acts off the court or she acts off the court or off the field or whatever the sport might be. It should be about the actions that they take in everyday life, which influences the social world that we live in. That's what it should be about. So I respect all of these people. I really do take issue with Bill Belichick's comments, though, refusing to answer these questions. For one, I agree with you. If you're not going to answer, you should say, I don't want to talk about this. But at the same time, Nick Saban also dodged questions on the matter.
Did you see his quote?
And that was terrible.
Did you see his quote? I mean, he's not, you know.
I didn't know it was election day.
Right.
Really, Nick? You didn't know it was election day? You could live in Iran and know it was election day in America. Mm-hmm. This was the most important election in the world in the past few years. It really was that monumental.
And in Nick's comments, he said, you know, why would I come out and tell you who I'm supporting? You know, because if I tell you one name, you know, an entire population of people may not
like me anymore. And yeah. If I say another name, the same thing might happen. So I'm just going to keep that to myself. You know, Nick doesn't want to rock the boat. Yes, well, that's all that is.
Nick doesn't want to rock the boat, but he did go from LSU to Alabama. That's a different matter. But no, I mean, I'm not going to share my political preference on there. I'm not going to do it.
No.
At the same time, so I respect that frame of mind. But I also respect people who are willing to. It takes a lot of guts. It takes the risk of alienating a lot of fans, whether that be a coach, a reporter, a player, whatever it may be. I respect their right and their prerogative to go and do that. But to not even answer the question, those follow-up questions were not, hey, Bill, who did you support? Who did you vote for? Those weren't the questions. The questions were, what's the state of the locker room like? Mm-hmm. That is a very different question, and that is a fair question. And following a very contentious and adversarial presidential election, that is a great question that should have been answered by the head coach of the world's best American football team.
But again, if he doesn't want to answer it, I get it. And don't act like a child, though, and get up there and just say Seattle a thousand times.
But I think he just even should have answered it.
I hear you. But if he would have came out and said, that's all I'm going to comment on, I'm moving forward now I'll take questions on Seattle. I respect that more than getting up there and saying, you know, Seattle 1,000 times. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. Just child. That was just kind of childish to me. All right, moving on. Before we hit our first break and hit and bring on Brian Callaway to the show, Brian Callaway, lead prep sports writer for the Lansing State Journal, he's going to dive into the remaining teams for Mid-Michigan who are still competing for a high school football state championship berth, all right? So we'll chat with Brian in a second here, but I also want to bring up the MSU men's basketball team getting two big gets yesterday. They got national letters of intent from Jaren Jackson Jr. from Indiana, as well as Xavier Tillman, who is a ball player right here in Michigan, out in GR, Grand Rapids. And this is a fantastic 2017 start to the class for four-time Izzo. You know, look at Jaren Jackson. I got a chance to check out some of his highlights. And you know, I haven't really mentioned this much on the air. I guess I really should have mentioned this a while ago. But the two-minute drill that we've been putting out, we put out a segment called the two-minute drill, was basically just a two-minute sports update that we record right after we are done here on the radio airwaves. And on yesterday's two-minute drill, which you can view at our Current Sports with Al Martin Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, I played a few highlights of both Jaren Jackson Jr. and Xavier Tillman in that snippet. And two fantastic young players here. I mean, you talk about Jaren Jackson, who was 6'10". He's got a 7'4" wingspan. Absolutely nuts. I mean, I saw some of his highlights. And, you know, when you're 6'10 and you have an over 7-foot wingspan, I mean, you become a shot-blocking machine. So not only is he a fantastic ball player on the offensive side of things, but defensively, I mean, half of the highlights that you see online are of him blocking shots at the rim. He's a fantastic young player who also shoots, get this, 40% from three-point land. That's crazy. He can play the 3, 4, 5, versatile. I mean, he's a stretch big man, and that's becoming the hallmark of big men today. So, huge get there for Tom Izzo, and also Xavier Tillman, who's more of a traditional post player, 6'9", 270. He's got a lot of girth in that paint. And, you know, he's, again, traditional post player who is in the running right now, who many people project to be in the lead for that running before we've even seen a basketball dribble on high school hardwoods across this entire state of Michigan. But he's the lead contender, the lead prospect to become Michigan's Mr. Basketball for this upcoming season. So two big gets for MSU hoops. And this now puts MSU's 2017 class 29th nationally. Now, again, there's still a lot of work to do. That's pretty good, though, to start off. If you're in the top 30 nationally already in the early signing period, right? Izzo currently holds 3 open scholarships for the 2017-18 year. Now, again, it's so early, that can completely change because you talk about players like Aaron Harris and Alvin Ellis III, who are seniors who will no longer be with this program next year. You talk about Gavin Schilling. Now, who knows when Gavin Schilling is going to return? But I've thrown around this possibility. I mean, Gavin Schilling, you know, if weeks and weeks continue to go by here, and we don't see Schilling on the basketball court, I mean, who knows? I could possibly see Schilling receiving a medical redshirt this year and possibly coming back for another year, next season. So who knows what the situation is going to be with Gavin Schilling right now? And who else is left for this team to get possibly? Well, 6'10" for Brandon McCoy. His name has been thrown around for a possible Michigan State get. 6'7" wing Brian Bowen. His name has been thrown around as well. 6'5" shooting guard Gary Trent Jr., who, as I mentioned, Trent Jr., 5-star shooting guard, 8th best player in the nation for the 2017 recruiting class. He will make his decision on ESPNU tonight at 6 p.m. So be glued to your TVs when that announcement is made. Again, he's choosing between State, Duke, and UCLA. So that could be a huge get for Izzo. And you better believe that 29 will go up significantly if they can land Gary Trent Jr. And also, I'm seeing that 4-star guard Nojin Eastern is also on that list. So Izzo, you know, he already has right now in this season, when you talk about guys like, you know, Miles Bridges, Cassius Winston, Josh Langford, you know, Nick Ward. I mean, this is already Tom Izzo's best recruiting class he's ever had. And now, if he follows that up with already two names like Jackson and Tillman, possibly with Trent and McCoy and Bowen, I mean, oh my goodness. I mean, Izzo is really rolling right here, folks. I really do believe that. Folks, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Before we hit our first break, I want to go to line one right now. We've got, this is crazy. 2 straight days, we get our dear friend Apache on line one. Apache, what's up, my friend? What's on your noggin?
Hey, man, I apologize for calling 2 days in a row.
But no, we
don't apologize.
Don't apologize for that. Come on now.
Hey, I want to quote Isaac. Isaac gave a beautiful, beautiful little piece of lecture yesterday when he said, if you don't vote, go out there and protest if you got something to say. Picket, march, or whatever, which is what you saw last night. It did get carried away with some of the fires and so forth. But I want to say something to Stephen A. Smith. He's the dude, he said, there's times when you got to beat your lady. Okay, because when that dude knocked out his girlfriend, now wife, okay, he caught hell for that. So he's not always in the right. And Kaepernick didn't vote because he felt, you know, there's a difference between a house Negro and a field Negro, but you're still a Negro and you're still a slave. Okay, and that was the point he was making, I think. And so he did go out in public and express himself and refusing to stand up, and that takes a lot of courage. Okay, it's another thing to go into a booth, and if you were paying any attention to the election, to the polls, they kept talking about this secret vote where white folks would not tell anybody that they really wanted Trump. Okay, you go into a booth, you're all by yourself, and you make a choice, and nobody knows about it. On the other hand, Cap endangers his career in his name, and now he's subject to criticism, okay, by his own community. They even say he ain't black. Okay, so I admire Cap. And Stephen A. Smith, you got capped on. Thank you.
I have a different point of view about you. Keep on listening, my friend, all right? I appreciate the point of view. I love it. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I have a few points to make when it comes to Stephen A's rant, all right? Stay tuned. I'm going to bite my tongue right now. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will invite Brian Callaway, lead prep sports writer for the Lansing State Journal. Don't go anywhere. We talk high school football next. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Later on this hour again, we are sort of the foundation and centerpiece of today's discussion here on Current Sports is, you know, with the craziness of this presidential election, which we all could use a break from, to be honest with you. But, you know, bringing it back to sports here, you guys saw that Colin Kaepernick came out. Most of you saw that Colin Kaepernick came out and did not vote. He chose not to vote. Colin Kaepernick, a man who has kneeled during the national anthem and decided to protest or to raise awareness when it comes to inequalities here in our great nation. Colin Kaepernick had a comment on the reasons why he did not vote. And it's sparking up a lot of discussion and a lot of discussion here on the show. And we appreciate Apache's comments and that were very honest, and we appreciate that. and I want to get your thoughts on it. You'll hear my rant later on in this hour. Again, I've been biting my tongue this entire show. You'll hear my rant later on, but call in. I want to hear from you guys. Your opinion is certainly valued here, and we love to create a forum which you can share those opinions on our airwaves. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. In the meantime, let's talk high school football playoffs, right? Man, it's an exciting time of the year. I can't believe it's already November, and I can't believe we're already talking about state championship games, possibly, around Thanksgiving Day. Unbelievable stuff. Right now, we invite our dear friend, Brian Calloway, lead prep sports writer for the Lansing State Journal, to break this whole thing down. First off, Brian, how you doing, my man?
Hey, not bad, Al. How you doing?
I am fantastic, brother. And again, a big congratulations to you. I know you're adjusting to fatherhood right now. How's that coming along?
Hey, it's going. You know, it's have a little 7-month-old around, so it's gradual adjustment on a daily basis.
That's a beautiful thing, my man. So, Brian, let's dive right into it. Correct me if I'm wrong now. You know, I count 6 teams still left in the high school football playoff dance. DeWitt, Division 6, Corunna at D4, Lakewood D4, Ithaca in D5, Jackson Lumen Christi at D6, and Pawama Westphalia at D7. And am I missing any teams here?
No, that pretty much sums it up right there.
When you look at that field right now, are you surprised at all that these are the teams still left in contention? And if so, what other teams, if any, did you think would still be dancing, so to speak?
You know, I thought Portland might have been in that mix as well, too. I mean, they just had an excellent season there. And, you know, the problem with the Portland and Lansing Catholic, I mean, they were all put in the same district in Division 5 there with defending state champion Grand Rapids West Catholic as well, too. So they had a little bit of it was a very tough road for them to get out of the district as well, too. But I thought that this was a team that could make it out of that district, as challenging as it was. But, I mean, when you look at the rest of the teams, I mean, DeWitt, I mean, it's a team that's long been one of the best teams in this area. And, I mean, they clearly showed that throughout the season. You expected them to be around. Pawama Westphalia, a team that made it to Ford Field a year ago. I mean, expected to see them around. Then, you know, another team, Ithaca, the perennial power. I mean, you constantly expect to see them around at this time of year. And even though they moved up a division from 6 to 5 this year, I mean, you still kind of thought that, you know, they had another run in them.
Now, you just brought up Ithaca, and that's a great segue to my next question here, Brian. Did you agree with Ithaca being placed in a division, you know, a higher division, I should say, in D5? And do you still think that this team is a state title favorite? And, again, they have a tough matchup, 10-1 Frankenmuth on Saturday. But can you see Ithaca getting back to that mountaintop despite the division change?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was, you know, with the way that the MHSAA divisions broke down and this year for Ithaca as well, too, with their enrollment, they were actually a Class B school instead of what they've typically been as a Class C school. So, I mean, you kind of had an idea all along that they would be Division 5 in the playoffs. You know, they were hoping kind of that last week of the regular season after those games were played that there was a chance they could be back in Division 6 where they're very familiar, but it didn't break out that way for them. But now that they're in Division 5, I mean, they've taken care of business their first 2 playoff games. They got a very strong performance from their junior quarterback, Joey Bentley, last week and a big win. And, you know, I think, you know, they have a chance to get back there to Ford Field again. Obviously, you know, have a tough test this week in the regional against Frankenmuth, which is, you know, another ranked team in Division 5, and is a team that's only allowed 70 points this year, but, you know, they're at home. And, you know, this team seems to have things rolling right now. And, you know, the thing that's really impressive about this team is, you know, they graduated a significant amount of players from that team last year that won a state championship, and they're right now they're still back in this position again. And this is a program that's won 25 straight games since the start of last season.
Yeah, they have, and they've been rolling ever since. And I feel like every year we're talking about some kind of streak for Terry Hesprick and the Yellow Jackets. And we actually had Terry on the show, you know, right in the midst of the playoff race a few weeks ago, Brian, and he talked about with the division change. You know, his message to his team is, hey, you know, we're the underdogs now. That's the way he put it. I mean, we could just let our hair down and just go out there carefree and play, because every matchup he feels like his team is now being, you know, just looked at as a prospect that with the division change is going to struggle. I mean, is that how you see it, or is that just coach speak from Terry?
I think it's kind of a coach speak thing. I think, you know, the Ithaca brand has, you know, a well-known brand, especially with what they've done in the past decade. And, you know, I don't necessarily see them as kind of an underdog. I mean, you know, this is a team that was ranked in the top 5 in Division 5 for the, throughout the entire season and Associated Press rankings. End of the season, ranked number 2. They're the highest ranked team remaining in the field in Division 5 as well, too. So, I mean, I think it's kind of some of the coach speak, kind of trying to take some of the pressure off your team. And, you know, you don't want your team to think about, you know, your division, you're ranked number 2 and you the streak and everything like that. You know, you want them to kind of play loosely and things like that and not worry about those, maybe some of those outside things. You just want them to focus on football. So I think it's a little bit of coach speak. But the way I look at it, I mean, I you know, right now, you know, going into this game Saturday, you know, I think Ithaca's the team to beat, you know. And I kind of felt that way even the first 2 Division 5 playoff games. You know, I thought that Ithaca was clearly the better team. And you know, and obviously that showed through the first 2 weeks of the playoffs.
Without a doubt. And I want to go back to Portland just for a sec here, Brian. You mentioned Grand Rapids West Catholic. They were able to stun undefeated Portland last week on a 31-yard field goal as time expired. West Catholic is the 3-time D5 defending state champs, but faced a very good Red Raiders team that took them down to the brink. In what way does a moment like that, a loss like that, coming in the fashion that it did, how does that dilute an undefeated year for John Navarra?
You know, I don't really necessarily think it dilutes the year. I mean, it's an unfortunate break in there, and you look at what the Portland program has done the last 2 years. I mean, finishing perfect regular seasons last 2 years and then losing the district final. I think it's just kind of heartbreaking, some of the unfortunates of the playoff system being the way it is and how things were seeded out. Because, I mean, if you look at it, the last 2 years, last year, you know, they played Lansing Catholic in the district final. That was a matchup of D5 ranked teams, and they obviously had beat Lansing Catholic in the regular season, and then they lose to them in the district championship game. And then this year, I mean, you're playing another D5 ranked team. You're the top ranked team in D5 at the end of the regular season. And it just so happens that you guys are in the same district. So I think it's more, not, I don't think it takes away anything from what they accomplished this season. It's just, I just think it's an unfortunate ending for them. And that's had to happen the past 2 years for them, with them putting together back-to-back perfect regular season and then just having the tough draw of the state tournament and their run ending, you know, sooner than they would have hoped it would have ended.
Yeah, you mentioned a brief history of that matchup, Brian. There's some history with Catholic and Portland, for sure, seeing as though even when you go back to 2012, the Red Raiders defeated Grand Rapids West Catholic to win the program's only state championship. What makes those two teams such a must-see matchup when they play one another?
You know, I just think that they're both very strong football programs. I mean, we talk about West Catholic with what they've been able to do, and obviously, I mean, that program has had a tremendous amount of success. And then you look at Portland, I mean, and I'd even throw Lansing Catholic in that mix as well, too, because, I mean, these three teams have constantly run into each other in the playoffs. I mean, it's, you know, Lansing Catholic has a strong history with West Catholic in the playoffs. And then, obviously, Lansing Catholic and Portland's history playing each other in the CWAC White here, and they've run into each other in the playoffs a number of times as well, too. So, I mean, I just think those three teams are very strong Division V football programs. You know, especially recently for, you know, both Portland and Lansing Catholic, they'll have a tremendous amount of success. And, you know, West Catholic had that success too as well, too. So, I mean, there's just naturally been good football games when these teams have hooked up.
Do you think John Navarra is underrated at all, Brian?
Yeah, I think he's done a very excellent job with that program. You know, and obviously with them being out in Portland, you know, you don't necessarily hear about them as much as maybe you might hear about some of the guys on Lansing when you look at a, you know, coach like Jim Ahern and what he's done at both Ithaca and Lansing Catholic, or then even Coach Bogan with what he's done with the Lansing Sexton program as well, too. But, I mean, if you really look at it, I mean, he's just had a really, really steady program. I mean, he's gotten a lot of results. You know, you look at a couple of years ago, I mean, they had the one tough season when they went, I think won 4 games, missed the playoffs. But since that season, I mean, you look at it, they've won, you know, 20 of their last 22 games or, you know, something like that. So, I mean, he's done a really good job, and he's led that program to a state title as well, too. And, you know, not many coaches in the area can say, you know, that they've got their programs to a state championship game. Obviously, you know, won state titles. But obviously, you know, Terry Hesburgh is obviously a regular, and he's won so many of those state titles at Ithaca and things like that. But, you know, not many other coaches can say that, you know, around the area, they can say that they have that state title that he does have. So, yeah, I think, you know, he is kind of underrated as a coach. But, I mean, he's done a very, very good job with that Portland program.
He certainly has. Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Brian Callaway, lead prep sports writer for the Lansing State Journal. Brian, when you look at this field, who has the best chance, you think, to make it out of the remaining local teams? Who has the best chance of making it downtown Detroit?
No, I have to point with Ithaca. I mean, I really like what Samama Wasilya has done. And obviously, I mean, they had the record-setting running back and Jared Smith, and I know you had their coach, Jeremy Miller, on your TV show before as well, too. And, I mean, they've done an excellent job. But, you know, they have a tough game this week when you look at having to go to Traverse City, St. Francis, and, you know, and that's a road game. And then, obviously, you know, DeWitt is a very tough game against Perennial State Power, Orchard Lake, St. Mary's. So, I mean, you know, some of these teams, Corona has a tough test against top-ranked Detroit Country Day. I mean, I just think Ithaca has the best chance based on the path they have. And, obviously, you know, this week getting a game against Frankenmuth, and I think that's a very winnable game for them, even though, you know, this Frankenmuth team is very stingy defensively, and Ithaca has been very strong offensively this year. But I think Ithaca has the best chance. I would say Pomona Wasilya would be the team right after them that has the best chance as well, too. Because if Pomona Wasilya gets past this game against Traverse City St. Francis, they'll have knocked out the number one and number three team out of the state tournament. So as well, wow. I think they would be in a good position, because obviously last week they took out number three Saugatuck in a close game at home. But they can win this week. I mean, they'll be the highest team remaining in the D7 field, and I think they'll have a good chance to get back to Fordville and have a chance at that state title.
Now, Brian, my next question here, correct me if I'm wrong here. I just saw this on MLive, highschoolsports.com, MLive.com. But they have this poll going for the 2016 Michigan High School Football Player of the Year. Is this just an MLive, you know, contest, or is this across the board, you know, from all media publications?
Yeah, it's MLive runs it, but a lot of people vote from various newspapers across the state are in the process of kind of helping to narrow down the finalists. Like, I was also one of the people that, you know, helped kind of pare down some of the finalists for that award.
Yeah, and for that award, I mean, you mentioned Jared Smith earlier, running back for PW. He is in the running for that honor. Also, Stockbridge's own senior quarterback, who was, I mean, he was just a joy to watch all year and all throughout his entire high school football career. Mason G. Montgomery, he is eligible as a possible fifth writing candidate. If you had your choice, I mean, where would your vote go to and why?
You know, obviously, you know, Jared Smith has had a very, very excellent season for Pomona Wasilya. But, I mean, you look at some of those guys, you know, and to play in Detroit, and obviously, you know, Cass Tech to me, you know, clearly, I think that, you know, they're the top football team in the state, and obviously, Detroit King has had a very a strong program as well too. I mean, I kind of like, you know, the kid from Muskegon, the quarterback Pimpleton. He's done some very good things this year. I mean, you look at Jalen Kelly Powell. I mean, he's done some good things as well too. I mean, I think it's kind of tough to pare down. I mean, I like what Kelly Powell has done. I think he's a strong candidate as well too. But I think Jared Smith can state a case for himself. If you look at the records that he has, I mean, he, you know, rushed for a state record rushing yards last year, state record TDs. I mean, he's got the most consecutive 100-yard rushing games in the state as well too. So, I mean, I think he's deserving to be in it. I'm not sure if he'll win it. I think, you know, one of those guys from Detroit, or one of the Detroit schools like Kelly Powell or something like that might take that award.
Yeah, and there's a few cool names in this bunch too. I mean, Donovan Peoples-Jones. I love that name. And then, you know, you talk about Pimpleton, Khalil Pimpleton. That's a cool last name, Brian. All right, I love that name. Let's before we get you out of here, Brian, I want to just go through the list of games this weekend when it comes to local teams. I mean, we mentioned DeWitt and how two-time defending state champion and number 10-ranked Orchard Lake St. Mary stands in the path of DeWitt moving on in the state playoffs. You have in D4 Corona at Detroit Country Day. That game will take place 1 p.m. on Saturday. D4 Lakewood at Hudsonville Unity Christian at 7 p.m. on Friday. D5 Frankenmuth at Ithaca. We mentioned that. 1 p.m. on Saturday. D7 PW at Traverse City St. Francis. That's a 1 p.m. game on Saturday as well. Just pick one or two games that intrigue you the most out of that bunch, Brian.
Well, I would say the Pomona Wasilya Traverse City St. Francis game, just because, I mean, you have a number one and number two team playing for a regional title. I mean, I think that's the game that has to, you know, kind of jumps out at you the most. But I also think, you know, the DeWitt Orchard Lake St. Mary's contest is intriguing as well too. You have two top 10 teams in Division III. Obviously, Orchard Lake St. Mary's is a program that's been what it has been under Coach George Porritt, and you know. You know, having to go on the road to play DeWitt. You know, this is a team that typically DeWitt has gone to play them or play them on a neutral site. So I think it's a pretty big deal for DeWitt to get a chance to host this game. And I think, hey, who knows? That could you know, make a difference in this game a little bit as well, too, and impact how it is played, too. So, I mean, I think those are the two games that immediately jump out at me. And I think, you know, I think this Ithaca-Frankenmuth game is going to be a very good one as well, too.
Brian, where will you be this weekend, my man?
I'm going to see DeWitt on Friday night, and then I will see Ithaca on Saturday afternoon. So I'll get to see two high school football games this week, so that'll be exciting.
One busy brother. Got to love the job, though, right, Brian?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You got to love this time of year, right?
That's right. Brian Callaway, the one, the only lead prep sports writer for the Lansing State Journal. Brian, always good chatting with you, and thanks for your time this afternoon.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me, Al.
You got it. Second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on this Thursday edition of Current Sports by hitting you with Throwback Thursday. What exactly happened on this particular date in sports? And, yeah, I'll finally let out the bag. You know, I'll give my thoughts and opinion on, of course, Colin Kaepernick deciding not to vote. And a quick Pistons and Wings update, all right? We'll try to cram that in the final 9 minutes here. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We have less than 10 minutes left in the show. If you want to call in, it's got to be a quick one, but we'll still take your calls. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. It is Thursday, and you guys know each and every Thursday here on the show, we love to roll in to Studio S, our Current Sports time machine, hop into it, press a few buttons, and go back in time to see what exactly happened on this particular date in sports history. Here we go.
That the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman, back over his step. Into the slot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. And there it goes. You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
All right, Throwback Thursday. So what happened on this date, November 10th, in sports history? Well, first, back in 1940, get this, Pittsburgh and Philadelphia played a penalty-free NFL game. I guarantee you will never see that the rest of your life. I can guarantee that. You know what gets me, Isaac, really briefly here. I want to go on a huge rant here, and I'll probably continue this on tomorrow's show. But the NFL ratings have been so bad. Such a drop-off this year, right? And you know that what the NFL's excuse has been? The NFL's excuse has been, well, the election has really taken up a lot of our ratings. You know, everybody wants to see this crazy reality show that's taking place between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Well, you know what? I totally disagree with that. And now the mask has been taken off. And I guarantee you that the ratings will be the same the rest of this year. You know why? Because there are way too many flags being thrown in NFL games today, and the matchups are absolutely horrid. For example, tonight, Thursday Night Football, what two teams do you have? You've got the lowly, winless Cleveland Browns on national television going against the Baltimore Ravens. Are you kidding me? You think that's going to draw eyeballs? I'd rather watch Love and Hip Hop New York than tune into that game tonight. All
You'd
right?
rather watch Love and Hip Hop New York than a lot of things, though.
Oh,
yeah,
fairness. That's true. That is true, Isaac. Very true. But my goodness, that is a horrible matchup. I'm not going to be glued to my... I'll be watching NBA basketball tonight, all right?
No
that's
doubt.
What I'll be doing, and taking my butt to the gym because I've missed 3 days, all right? Keeping it moving here. I had to get that off my chest. Woosah. All right, 1945. College football's number one Army beats number two Notre Dame, 48-0. In 1950, after 9 years, the Cleveland Indians, they fired manager Lou Bordreo. So that took place in 1950. And a year later, 1951, the 13th College Football Crab Bowl Classic. What a name, right? Maryland beats Navy 40-21 in Baltimore. And in 1957, an NFL record crowd of 102,368 set between the 49ers and the Rams in L.A. 5 minutes left in the show. We started our show by talking about Colin Kaepernick deciding not to vote. And again, I'll make this quick, simple, and to the point. For those that tune into yesterday's Current Sports, you all know how I feel about individuals who just were lazy on election day and did not get out to express what I believe to be one of, if not the most important right as an American here in our nation, especially for African Americans. Me being a black male here in America, when you evaluate the history of what voting means to us as a demographic here in the U.S. of A, you have a right, you have a responsibility to go out there and let your voice be heard. And what I believe has happened in these last few months is that people have been so clouded by Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, just the presidential election, that they forget just how important their voices are when it comes to local government and local issues. Just because you don't agree, like Cap stated, just because you don't agree with who the candidates are for the presidential election, what about what is happening in your local community? I get it, and I root for you, Cap, because you're going out there, and I love the Black Panther camp that you've enacted for the youth today. I love, you know, how you're expressing, you know, your right as an American citizen and drawing awareness by your protest with the national anthem. I've rooted for you in those. But when you sit up there and say that you didn't vote because you didn't like the candidates in the presidential election, you are failed to realize the bigger picture here. The bigger picture. If you want to affect change in youth, why don't you put people in local government and in local power who have that direct ability to do so? It's not about just what's happening nationally in the presidential election at the White House. And people have been so clouded by the presidential election that they fail to realize how important local government officials are. That's what irked me with this whole statement. So when it comes to Stephen A., I agree with him probably 90%, because he did make a spiel in there, Isaac, about how, you know, how you've disrespected the military with you kneeling during the national anthem. Too. I totally disagree with that. I love the kneeling and the protest when it comes to the national anthem. A lot of people out there disagree with that. I'm not afraid to express my opinion and say that I still root for Colin when it comes to that. But not going out and voting and putting that in perspective for all of those who came before you as a black male in America who have shed blood to go out there and give you the right to vote. It's the word I used yesterday. Complete ignorance. Simple as that, folks. Got that off my chest. Take another deep breath. We'll be back at it tomorrow. All right, Friday. Can't believe that we're talking about Friday already, folks. Much thanks to Brian Calloway, lead prep sports writer of the Lansing State Journal, for joining us here on this afternoon's Current Sports. Tomorrow we will have plenty of talk about the Detroit Lions. We'll talk a lot of Detroit sports tomorrow, about the Detroit Lions, the Pistons and Wings, of course, the MSU men's basketball team out in Hawaii. And I saw on their respective Instagram, they're out there enjoying the sun out at the beach. They will open up the regular season Friday night in the Armed Forces Classic in Honolulu, Hawaii. We'll chat about that matchup and we'll preview it for you. Back at it, same time, same place tomorrow. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to this edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Be easy, people.